even with, you know, the struggles, because some persons shared they had struggles, some persons didn't share they had struggles, but had struggles. But there's something that we all gained or learned or gathered, and it's important to achieve what we wanted to achieve with the retreat, is to improve in our chanting from whatever it is that we've been doing to what we want to be doing. Lessons or, you know, things that you can apply. Several devotees shared one mantra at a time, and it's a very powerful exercise. Some others shared, personally I find that's nice, but it's more personal if it's the same thing said in a different way, which is be present. Because chant one mantra at a time, in my way of thinking of things, is that you're present with the mantra, but the mantra or Krishna is a person. Krishna, his name is a person. He is a person and you're present. Like that meditation of fixing the mind on the heart and the Lord in the heart and your deity, and invite him to come outside and chant to him. You're chanting for his pleasure. So being present with Krishna. It may be a prayer, it may be a preparation, it may be, just like several of the devotees expressed their anticipation of coming here, and that's a big part of nice chanting. We have that opportunity every day. Something that Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches, again, here's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but in the evening, before you take rest, think of the day, just quickly, review the day, what went well, what could have been done better, and with some resolve, how to do better the next day. And anticipating this very wonderful, special time of being with Krishna, first thing in the morning. So, at some part of what you do in a routine fashion, that's a very nice thing to do. If you, Prabhupada explained, and it's true, that if you're anticipating something the next day, when you wake up in the morning, more likely that's going to be on your mind. That anticipation of that activity. Like say, you know, the day before Janmashtami. You're anticipating Janmashtami. Or the day before it's Ekadasi Vrata, and you're anticipating Ekadasi Vrata. Or Rath Yatra. But each day is an opportunity to chant the holy name. Be with Krishna. Be present with Krishna. A japa retreat is a mega dose of that in the association of others who are similarly focused. Preparing is the phrase. Prepare yourself for, on a day-by-day basis, a life of taking shelter of Krishna's holy name. So,
can we close that kitchen door?
I wanted to speak just a refresh on two points. The Shikshastakam number 3 message of humility. and namashraya, how from the second shikshastakam is, unfortunately, I have no taste. Durdaivam idrisham ahajani nanuraga. So in that place of not having any taste, we know what that feels like. It doesn't feel good. And, you know, it's something about my condition. It's certainly not about the holy name. So there's a beginning seed of, you know, recognizing, not pretending or ignoring or, you know, meeting face to face the reality that I don't have taste. I'm in this unfortunate situation. That's not something to be avoided. It's something to enter more, from a spiritual level, enter more deeply into. The Trinadapi Sunichena. And it's just, I want to speak a little bit about the entering more deeply into that mood of humility. Part of the reason we don't have taste is our attention is elsewhere. Our attention is on stuff, on what's outside of ourself that has nothing to do with who we are. And, you know, our long, laborious task of trying to be the enjoyer, proprietor, and controller of that which has nothing to do with us, the world of illusion. And we're very habituated to it. And the mind wants to go there and be the enjoyer. The mind doesn't want to go to this holy name. The mind wants to go to be the enjoyer.
Close the door again.
And you can tell when it's open. So, you know, just something that can help humility go more deeply is take a look at what is that little program. We would do this sometimes with bhaktas in a bhakta program, like they join the temple, and then the mind would say, you know, I don't want to be here anymore. So one of the things that we would do is say, okay, why don't you share with me where you're going to go and what's going to be waiting for you when you get there? And who's going to be there? What's that exchange going to be like? Just like you do an imaginary bloop. And it's not at all nice. The reality is, it's not at all nice. So this false ego thing of that I am the center of the universe, and everything that exists is meant for my enjoyment. If it doesn't bring me enjoyment, then I have to rearrange it because everything is for my enjoyment. Well, the reality is, that's not what the universe is. Not at all. And whatever are those things that one, the configuration looks good. What's the reality? It doesn't stay good. It changes. And even those things that seemingly endure a little longer than the other ones, they're all taken away. Like, you know, we're the center. Right. Who, 50 years from now or 100 years from now, who will even think about our existence? How significant are we? And those things that are so meaningful to us when they're gone, when we're gone, in 50 years from now, 100 years from now, how important are those things that we think are important? Those things that bring us happiness. But they don't bring us happiness, they bring us bondage, and bondage brings us misery. If we take help of, the mode of goodness a little bit, and scripture a little bit, it's not so difficult to realize the phantasmagoria of I'm the center of the universe. And lo and behold, everyone is thinking the same way. How many centers of the universe are there? It's Maya's trick. And if we don't have that, what do you have? So that looks fearful. You have nothing, because that's all there is, isn't it? That's all there is stuff. But that's not all there is. There's spiritual reality. Well, I've heard about it, but I'm not experiencing it. So this space of uncertainty, or not defined, is just that little exercise takes you into this liminal space again. And I really need shelter. Not, we were discussing, Jai Jagannatha was bringing up, the Gajendra Moksha. There was an intense need. Or Ajamila. They're the Yamadutas. There's an intense need. Or Maharaj Ambarish. There's an intense need. But Maharaj Ambarish was fixed whether there was an intense need or not an intense need. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. We can similarly, just by being, rather than being lazy and complacent and waiting to get beaten up, we can be thoughtful and consider what's reality, what's our situation. I want to take shelter of something. Having once attained, I don't have to come back. Like, we've had the experience of a nice experience. And after some time, that nice experience fades. Even a nice spiritual experience. It fades. So, we wait for the next retreat, or we wait for the next something. Big festival where we have a nice experience again. And go, oh yeah, we can have a nice experience. But then there's every other day. So that opportunity is there when there's a sense of, through thoughtfulness and a little bit of cultivation of Krishna consciousness, the mode of goodness and a little bit of Krishna consciousness, the sense that there's really need for a shelter. I remember in Prabhupada's lectures, one of the lectures that grabbed me was he was describing to the people of the counterculture era the fallacy of intoxication. So you take some, he was specific, you take LSD and you go flying high in the sky. But unless there's shelter, what happens? You come back down again. So he was explaining, you get in a spaceship and you can go beyond the gravitation of the earth, and how much effort is needed to get that spaceship out of the gravitational field of the earth. Okay, now it's beyond the gravitational field of the earth. Okay, you check that capsule and the next one goes. Now you're floating around in space. And Prabhupada was saying, how fast do those go? They were saying that, the astronauts from Russia, they were flying over Moscow, and every, whatever it is, whatever, some time, amazingly short time, an hour and 15 minutes, they pass over Moscow. Oh, there's my Moscow. How fast are they moving in space? 747 can't move that fast. So an hour and 15 minutes and you circumambulate the earth. You're moving really fast. But how long can you stay there? It can get pretty boring after a while. Besides, you run out of oxygen, you run out of water, and run out of fuel. So his point was, unless you take shelter somewhere in an atmosphere that's conducive, you have to come back. However high you may go, you have to come back. So whatever experience there is that one may anticipate, it has to be shelter. So I'm connecting consideration of humility with the need for shelter, because they naturally, one follows the other. And what is really shelter? Like this discussion about karma sannyas. You with me? Karma sannyas, remember? Yeah. What's real shelter? So when there's a clear sense of what real shelter is, this is particularly for followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where chanting of it, but it's not just followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The other bona fide disciplic successions, they clearly understand the merit of chanting of the holy name. Their expression of that may be very different, but the importance of the holy name is very clear. I just was thinking to share this with you. When the devotees, the temple in Tirupati, anyone here been to Tirupati? Yeah. So when you go to Tirupati, the process of worship is quite different than our process of worship. The mantras that they chant actually are from the same mantras that we chant with deity worship, but they don't have Sankirtan. So in Tirupati, one of the devotees in ISKCON, Revati Raman, built a very nice temple along with a new guest house. And for the installation of Radha Govinda and the Ashtasakis, he invited the chief priest of Tirupati to come and give his blessings, you know, like inaugurate the beginning of the 4-day deity installation program. So he's a VIP, so he was going to come for 10 minutes, do a pirouette and go back up the hill. He stayed for many hours because he was so moved by the devotion of the devotees. And then he came back every day for each of the 4 days. And he wasn't scheduled to, because he's such a, you know, an important personality, he wasn't scheduled to give the closing speech, but he gave the closing speech. And he said the same thing that I've heard from a number of Sri Vaishnavas that very much appreciate. I mean, he was respectful, as one is respectful for another sampradaya, but he didn't really understand from first-hand experience what Sankirtan, that given by Lord Chaitanya, was. Imagine what it was like for Venkatabhata and experiencing Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan. But he said, you know, what we're doing is nothing compared to what you're doing. It was on national television. He didn't need to say something like that. It came from his heart. It's like, you know, it didn't win him points with his people either. National television. What we're doing is nothing compared to what all of you are doing. We're also chanting names during the course of our reciting of mantras. But this Sankirtan, it's transforming the whole atmosphere and obviously the hearts and the lives of the persons who are dancing and dancing and dancing for hours together in ecstatic devotion. You're doing the real work. National television. Something not exactly like that, but something like that. You know, a really important person speaking in that way. The chanting of the holy name is so powerful. Then, I have no taste. I have no attraction. The feelings of humility are not to like make us feel beaten or dry or whatever, depressed or frustrated or... But go more deeply and to let go of those things that are holding you back from that real spiritual mood of humility, the other false shelters, and take real shelter. And when you, Jiva Goswami explains, when you take shelter, when the process of surrender is activated, there is a sense of belonging. And that sense of belonging is a seed of love. Because I belong to Krishna, literally. Krishna, I am yours. And how can you chant or do devotional service with love if there isn't a sense of belonging? I belong to Krishna. Like, this is a service. I'm chanting for Krishna's pleasure. It's not about me and my liberation and how I feel. It's about pleasing Krishna and receiving that invitation that Krishna is making to invite me to come once again to his position. But now this is the part that Dhrishta doesn't like, that I'm lacking in the qualification to do so. So we could say, you know, Krishna, please cleanse my heart. Or Krishna, please, despite my disqualification, please engage me in your service, which is what you were meditating on yesterday. Or another capsule version of the same is Krishna, please accept me. And so it's another message of being present. So how do we be present? Moment to moment. Or this is where the one mantra at a time. It's namashraya. And with taking shelter, there's a sense of belonging. And with a sense of belonging, then the awakening or the seed of love starts to unfold into what you might say is higher stages or more evolved stages of chanting the holy name. But for most of us, it's this, you know, mind thing. Sankalpa, vikalpa. Accepting, rejecting. Striving to take shelter and then fading. And then waking up and realizing, wow, I faded. I have to do something. Right, Shweta? You got it? It's feeling something and then, you know, kind of plateauing out and coasting along and then fading. Oh, I faded. What to do now? So it's not just struggle to climb that mountain again, but sincerely calling out to Krishna for genuine shelter. It's not a doership. It's not a achieving mode. It's a spiritual call for Krishna's shelter, Krishna's mercy. Krishna, please pick me up. Stitta duli sadrisham vichintaya, and place me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. Because that's my rightful position. I don't belong here. And by continuing, I was sharing this with one of the devotees, it's like going for a walk in the forest where there's no trail in the forest, and you know, there's all the underbrush and flashing on your legs and stuff. But somewhere you see where there may be an abandoned trail, hasn't been used in a long time, but you can see there's that little path. So how did that little path become a path that now is abandoned, and how to make it a path again? Just keep walking on the path. That's how it became a path. Just keep walking and walking back and forth and back and forth, and it becomes a path. And it's like very clear, very easy to move through the forest. So similarly, we're out of practice with taking shelter in Krishna. We've got another practice. It's called sense gratification. And, you know, I'm the center of the universe. Look out, here I come. Because I'm going to fix things to be right, because I know what's right. Because I'm the center of the universe. And everybody else is thinking the same way. It's called material life. So, the taking shelter of Krishna is, it's just practice. And however many times you just get up and try again, and you get knocked down or something, slip and fall or be inattentive again, you get up and keep moving in through that trail in the forest, and it becomes just a regular path. It becomes very easy. Referring back to something I said the first day, habit becomes second nature. There's our conditioned nature, and then there's spiritual practice, sadhana, and it, by practice, it becomes second. It's actually what our real nature is. It's our first nature. The other is artificial. This shelter in Krishna is natural for us. There's real strength. It's our own strength. It's not just the material energy bombarding us. It's our real strength. It takes practice. And doing that practice in the association of such nice devotees in this sacred dham, in the presence of Radha Damodar and so on, very nice. I'm not sure. Next year, this year was difficult. Next year is maybe impossible. This year, 2 days before the Labor Day weekend began, was Janmashtami. The next day was Vyasa Puja, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday. Next year, Saturday is Radhashtami. So it's looking on the other side of iffy, if we'll have a japa retreat next year, because temples want all their devotees to take part in Radhashtami festival. And I don't want to, like, pull the rug out from under temple presidents and say we're going to have a japa retreat. So we may not have a japa retreat next year. We may do something else, but not a japa retreat. But when you have an opportunity to come together, or in your temples, from time to time, take an afternoon, sometimes, occasionally, and come together and focus and chant together, as a suggestion. Okay, so we have some time for questions or comments. Okay. Goshan, you want to? You're just scratching. Okay. Okay. Yes. I spoke about humility. Yes, I did.
So,
Just see how tricky the mind is. And you know what? It's scriptural. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes one of the categories of unsteady bhakti is exactly what you described. Becoming, trying to be the enjoyer of a little success in spiritual life. And there's a Sanskrit name for it too. So now, what to do? Is your question? So the answer is, stay in a spiritual conception. If you're not in a spiritual conception, you're going to have that, you know, the wave, the sine wave program. And it the sine wave program flattens out as your factual spiritual advancement, you know, realization of your real identity. It's not just come down, you are down. So it's the real, we're tiny. We're insignificant. Insignificant. Spiritually. It's not like a demeaning statement. It's a spiritual reality. We're insignificant. So if some now, in that spiritual conception, some mercy comes, what happens? Krishna, you are so kind. Think of Sudama Brahman. When he was leaving Dwaraka, he was thinking, Krishna, you are so kind. You knew why I came. And you didn't ask me to ask you for what I came for. Because you knew that if I asked for it, you would give it. And if I received it, then I would just become puffed up and filled with myself. Oh, I'm the recipient of Krishna's mercy. So Krishna, you're so kind. You didn't ask me. And when he got home, he didn't find his home. He found a palace. And he could hardly even recognize his wife because she, rather than dressed very simply, she was dressed like a queen. And then he realized what Krishna did. Although I didn't ask, he knew. Krishna, you are so kind. 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 It's his nature. He's always kind to his devotees. The mercy comes in various ways. Mercy can come from, what was somebody saying? What was the word that you were using? Your mind was bashing you or something? Slamming. Krishna, you are so kind. Yeah.
Maharaj, thank you for this last discussion. It's been very moving for me. I was wondering if you can expand on this, this sense of belongingness is a seed of love. If you can give maybe an expanded understanding of that. I see in the material realm, it makes it really easy to participate in the mundane situations because there is a feeling of belongingness to those circumstances or situations.
Yeah, it's easy to see it in the material realm, what to speak of the spiritual realm. So let's say, you know, there's an arranged marriage. He doesn't know her, she doesn't know him, and somebody suggests, what do you think? Would you like to marry him or her? And they go, I don't know. I don't know him or her. So there's no sense of belonging. It's just like a vacuum. But because, you know the person and you're recommending, I'll entertain the possibility, and so they're married. And then there's a sense of belonging. It's exactly what Prabhupada was, I was repeating what Prabhupada was saying. You know, after marriage, now I have a nephew. My my wife's brother's son. But, you know, he's a relative now because of this one relationship. And then we, like, you know, we identify with that. There's a sense of belonging. Or then he was, you know, expanded it to, because my body is born in India and your body is born in America. You're thinking, you're American, and I'm thinking, I'm Indian. And there's a sense of belonging. And people sacrifice their lives for their nation. Not knowing that in their next life they may be born in that other nation. So, on the platform of the body, there's a sense of belonging and there's an identification with that. You know, where is our shelter? So, spiritually, even more so, you know, the material is just a reflection of the spiritual. So we've broken our relationship with Krishna, at least, you know, in our mind, because you can't break your relationship with Krishna. It's eternal. But we've broken our relationship with Krishna. And we've been wandering and wandering for millions of births. Up and down and sideways and all over the place. Now, by good fortune, we've come in contact with that which provides us shelter. And if we take shelter, factually, not like pretended or cosmetically, but factually take shelter, we're home, or it's our real place. And when in that real place, then loving relationships naturally unfold. It's the seed. Without shelter, what is it? I was sharing the difference between a religious idea of what some practice is and a transcendental idea from my teenage life. Were you here for that? So, you know, the solution of loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength is not possible if you don't know who He is. It's a sentiment. A nice sentiment. It can protect people from lots of bad things if they have that nice sentiment. But it's not, it's flimsy. It's not enduring. So to know who God is and factually take shelter, what is His name? What is His form? What are His qualities? What are His activities in the spiritual world? And that was another one. I was asking my priest and my confirmation teacher, you know, what's it like there when you go to the kingdom of heaven? What do you do? Not a clue. It was, oh, that's a nice question. Listen to this cute question. He just asked this cute, you know, it's like, get out of here. So, when there's factual shelter, then there's a sense of belonging. And when there's a sense of belonging and shelter, then relationships in a loving manner unfold. So we want to render loving devotional service. That's our teaching. I mean, like, we speak about it all the time. But are we feeling it? So again, there's this gap between what we know and where we are. So there has to be shelter. And then there's a sense of belonging, and then the relationships naturally unfold. And for real, they unfold. On the spiritual platform, they unfold. Our devotional service now is practice. But the essence of that service in practice is, now I'm just connecting back to what I said the first day, the connected chanting. There's this teaching that says we have a relationship with Krishna. And it's not, you know, incidental. It's central. Take shelter. Yeah, but, you know, I'm Krishna's so far away. So I can relate to my spiritual master. Okay. The spiritual master is saying you have relations with Krishna. And our easy access to Krishna is his holy name. So the retreat, like this whole service unto all of you, is trying to make that access easy by, you know, the teachings of our acharyas and rolling out the red carpet and just say, you know, go for a stroll on this red carpet. Just try. And it, so when there's shelter, there's a sense of belonging. And when there's a sense of belonging, the relationships unfold through the medium of chanting. It works like that. According to the last chapter of Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, once again, is this description of the unfolding of the stages of the holy name. So it's Nama, then Rupa, then Guna and Leela. What happens is, as one advances further in the stages of chanting, not only we're attentive to Krishna in his form of his holy name, but his swarup, his spiritual form. And then the qualities of Krishna become recognizable in our, at a conscious level, not just something we read about in a book, but something we know and something where we are. It's something you can, it's disclosed by the holy name. And one can enter into the Leela of Krishna. That's what the Goswamis were doing. They were just reading Krishna book. They were experiencing when they were chanting Krishna's pastimes within their heart. But so, Namashraya. This is Jiva Goswami's teaching, that it awakens the sense of belonging, and that sense of belonging is the seed of love. You can go back and say, devotional service itself is the seed, bhakti lata bij. But Jiva Goswami is teaching, yes, and devotional service must be accompanied with chanting of the holy name. But they're not contradictory or mutually exclusive. So much of our life as Hare Krishna devotees is Hare Krishna chanting. So becoming absorbed in how we take shelter of the holy name is wonderful. One of the kirtan devotees was sharing that, actually a couple of them, without naming any names, you know, chanting, learning to chant has its ego thing, kirtan specifically. I learned a new melody and I'm going to, you know, show, you know, perform this new melody. And everybody goes, oh, it's such a nice melody. Right, Nilash? Oh, you're doing so well in your devotional service. Yes. Lava, puja, and pratishtha. So, how to not go there is when you have shelter. It's just to please Krishna. It's a service to Krishna. In different melodies. Indra's nice, very, very beautiful melodies. It's enchanting to Krishna. It's enchanting to the heart. It, to be in that. So, it's where there's shelter in the holy name. And when we're, okay, when we're in that position, what's being nurtured is our relationship with Krishna. What's not being nurtured is our false ego, sense of pride and being an enjoyer. Because the strength, the prominence of wishing that Krishna is pleased. You just keep walking along that path very steadfastly, taking shelter of Krishna's holy name. It's 10 o'clock. Our schedule said 10:10, so we can take another question or two if we have. Yes.
I don't know whether to ask that. Like, I'm trying to ask, I mean, trying to...
So why are you asking if you don't know? I'm just joking. Go ahead.
Like, I'm trying to understand the yugas and dasavara.
Trying to understand which?
Yuga, like Satya Yuga.
Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Kali Yuga?
Yeah.
And okay.
And
we, it's off topic.
Yeah. And we didn't talk about Krishna in Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga. We started talking about in Dwapara Yuga and
yeah.
Yuga.
Okay.
And dasaratas also, like Machya, Kurma, whatever, Rama, after Rama, Krishna. So, like, now, I mean, Krishna consciousness, Krishna is the center, and he is the, I mean, from Krishna, everything comes out like Balaram, whatever. Like, I'm trying to understand, like, I'm not able to digest.
Okay. Let's talk about this another time, because it's off topic. Anything else? Okay. You have the last question, then we'll break for breakfast, or brunch, late breakfast.
Maharaj, today I like the prayer you give from Bhaktivinod Thakur and Shikshashtika 5. When I was trying to be in that mode little bit itself, it was powerful. So, during the chanting, so I wanted to understand how I can get the essence of the whole mood either during the chanting and also preferably other times also.
It's not mental. It's a spiritual impression. It's not, okay, I've got to memorize the prayer and I got to chant the mantra. We discussed this. Isn't it? You discussed this when we had our conversation about a week ago. So it's not we have to run back and forth between our binary processor called the mind. Switch this channel off, switch this channel on. Okay, switch that channel off, switch this channel on. It's not like that. Not like that. You, in a receiving mode, you hear the prayer. Let the prayer enter and fill your heart. Something is resonating in there. Then you take the mantra and call Krishna's name in the mantra with whatever it is resonating in there, whatever that nice message is. O son of Maharaj Nanda. And then, you know, there's something resonating. It's a mood. So one part of that prayer is I have my natural relationship with you. Somehow I find myself in this other circumstance. So that's humility, in short. But, you know, it has some particulars, but the essence is humility. So that's the mood. And Krishna is there. So the relationship has been broken. And I'm in this very difficult situation. But I belong to you. But I'm in this difficult situation. And I'm calling to you. So that it's the mood. It's besides just mantra. It's the mood. You've been in IT for too long. This is devotional, it's different. if it helps you, just you can take that. You can take it that way. But it's not just, you know, cause and effect. It's not just, you know, you wiggle this and then that wiggles over there. It's not just cause and effect. It's devotional. Something moves your heart. And then you call Krishna's name in that, how your heart has been moved, mood. Oh. Yeah.
Other times, so that something will move my heart at some point.
At some point, yeah. Yeah. It's devotion, it's not information. And this information, you know, this series of ones and zeros triggers another something over there, that triggers another something over there, and then your chanting comes out better. It's not cause-effect like that. It's devotional. It's your heart. So you sit with the prayer. I'll do it one more time. You sit with the prayer, and you open your heart. And you receive that message from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his translation, because I shared that with you. And something happens. If nothing happens, that's okay. Then you go on and just chant. And then the next day, you open your heart. And you know, gradually over time, that stone will soften, moisten, and soften. And then something will go in your heart. Then you call Krishna's name. Whatever that something is that went in from your heart. It's not the mind, it's the heart. A feeling, a mood of towards Krishna and your relationship with him. And in that mood you call Krishna's name. Okay. We're going to have breakfast, lunch, right now.